Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting. Hopefully, everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure that their mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillors' Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Just to remind members that the mic works as a queuing system, so please don't press the button again when it's your turn to speak, as this will put you out of the queue. Item one on the agenda is apologies.
Yep, Chair. We've got apologies from Councillors Hoyle, Kelly, Larkin, Mathers, McAvoy, Ruane, Taylor, and Truesdale.
Chair, just to note that I do need to leave at 7:00 for another meeting.
Sure. Any declarations of interest? Item three is the Council's response to the notice of motion. We will hear all of the items and then we will do questions and answers.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Members will be aware the meeting is being held as a result of the Council's resolution to the notice of motion tabled in the October 2023 Council meeting, as set out in section 1.1 of the report. This report is for noting, and it outlines the Council's Environmental Health Section's response to complaints received alleging odour nuisance associated with the Regen Waste Limited facility at Warren Point Harbour. I would like to refer members to the Council's statutory obligations to investigate statutory nuisance, such as odour complaints under section 63 the Clean Neighbourhoods and Environment Act, Northern Ireland 2011, as outlined in section 1.2 of the report. Should a statutory nuisance be determined, the Council has the power to serve an abatement notice on the person or persons responsible. During the investigations, odour was assessed using the current available guidance issued by the Department for Environment, Food and Rural Affairs for local authority, and this is outlined in Appendix 2. A total of 38 complaints were received by the Environment Health Department alleging foul odour emanating from the Regen Waste Limited facility at Warren Point Harbour. These were received from residents, businesses and elected representatives in the period between the 17th of July and the 27th of November 2023. Of these complaints, 30 related to odour. 22 of these 30 were received regarding odour at residential properties and 8 regarding odour within Warren Point Town. 16 complaints alleging fly nuisance were also received, and all complaints were investigated. Members are asked to note that several residents complained about both odour and flies. I now refer members to the summary in section 2.2 of the Environmental Health Officer Monitoring at Residential Properties in response to the complaints received. 41 visits were made between the 21st of July 2023 and the 19th of March 2024. On 5 of these visits, odour was detected at residential properties. And while EHOs detected the odour in the complainants' gardens, On no occasion was the RDF odour detected within a house. Section 2.3 summarises the additional monitoring that was carried out between the 3rd of September and the 14th of October by the Environmental Health Team. On 18 occasions, due to the substantial number of complaints received across 5 locations, these are detailed in the report. From the 19th of October, based on the findings to that date, the monitoring locations were reviewed and increased to include additional residential areas. A total of 160 further odour monitoring visits were carried out between the 19th of October and the 25th of February across various locations. On 27 occasions, the RDF odour was detected at the Harbour car park and on 8 occasions at the Newry Street car park. The odour was detected outside the port and the vicinity of residential addresses on 7 occasions. So in summary, all 38 odour complaints received by the Council's team were investigated. Environmental Health Officers carried out 219 odour assessment visits near residential properties and other locations in Warren Point at various times, and this included early morning, evenings and weekends, as well as during standard business hours. In a total, RDF odour was detected in residential areas in 15 occasions, and the majority of these were described as faint or very faint. On 5 of the 15 occasions, the RDF odour was detected within the curtilage of the residential properties. Based on the evidence that was gathered through the investigations, it has been concluded that there was a clear correlation between the Regen Waste Limited Storage Facility at Warren Point Fort and the RDF odour being detected by residents. However, it is noted that when the odour was detected, it was intermittent in nature. And following consideration of the above, it has been concluded that the threshold for statutory nuisance under the Clean Neighbourhoods and Environment Act, Northern Ireland 2011, statutory nuisance has not been met. Members are asked to note the contents of the report. Thank you, Chair.
We will now move on to the next presentation. Each of the presentations have 10 minutes.
Sorry, folks, there's no questions. We asked no.
I said after we had them all done, we would do all the questions in one.
Sorry, Chair.
Okay. So, 10 minutes for each of the reports. We will let you know when there's a minute left, and then after each report, we will have questions and answers. Sorry, it's NIEA first, please.
I'm going to give a regulatory overview from the Northern Ireland Environment Agency. And this is covering the last financial year, April 23 through to March 24. A note on the report there, it notes April 24, but it's covering up until March 24. In terms of the Regen Waste Management Limited licence, held at Warren Point Port, provision of a valid planning approval is a prerequisite for a waste management licence to be granted by the NIEA. Regen do hold valid planning permission for the Warren Point Docks Waste Management Facility. In line with this planning approval, Regen have held a waste licence with the Northern Ireland Environment Agency for lands at Warren Point Harbour since October 2013. This licence currently allows for the transfer prior to shipment of no more than 500,000 tonnes of refuse-derived fuel, otherwise known as RDF, per annum, and the storage of up to 20,000 tonnes at any one time, which must not be stored for longer than 3 months. The NIEA's regulatory monitoring of the Regen facility. NIEA use a risk-based methodology to allocate the number of scheduled monitoring inspections that authorise waste facilities should receive in a financial year. In 23-24, based on this RAM, the Regen facility was allocated 4 scheduled monitoring inspections. However, NIEA officials have carried out a total of 14 inspections, 4 of which were scheduled and 10 were unscheduled monitoring. This increase was in response to reports of odour NIEA received concerning the facility. The NIEA can confirm that the Regen facility has been recorded as being in full compliance with the conditions of their waste management licence during 7 out of the 14 inspections. These inspections took place on the 14th of March 24, 17th of January 24, 15th of November 23, 27th of October 23, 25th of July 23, 13th of June 23, and the 26th of April 23. Turning to records of non-compliance by NIEA of the Regen facility. The NIEA could confirm that 10 instances of non-compliance of the conditions of the Regen Waste Management Licence have been recorded over 7 inspections between the 16th of August 23 and the 9th of October 23. The NIEA recorded non-compliances and dates can be broken down as follows. The control of odour, 16th of August, 25th of August, 35th of August, 31st of August, sorry, and the 13th of September 2023. RDF waste bales stored for longer than 3 months. These were noted on the 5th of September and the 9th of October 23. The storage of RDF bales outside the licensed red line boundary. These were noted on the 20th of September 2023. And control of pests, namely flies, was recorded on the 16th of August 2023. While Regen did have instances of non-compliance of certain licence conditions recorded by the NIEA, the ultimate aim for NIEA and unauthorised operators is to first to bring them back into compliance in line with the Dairy Enforcement Policy, which was completed shortly after the 9th of October 2023. Turning to reported incidents to NIEA in relation to the Regen facility, in total 24 reports, 21 specifically about odour, about the facility from 14 different sources, have been received by the NIEA since April 2023. These reports are broken down as follows. July 6, August 8, September 2, October 5, November 2, and January 2024-1. The NIA monitoring of odour in relation to the Regen facility. The NIA is monitoring of odour in respect of point source emissions from authorised facilities which they regulate, and this is completed by smell sniff testing in line with the H4 odour technical guidance. Smell sniff testing is a name given to the assessment of smells using the human nose and is also referred to as olfactory monitoring. Due to reports of odour received by NIA officials, they have carried out 10 odour assessments from April 2023 off the Regen facility, with the results being as follows. 4 of the assessments did evidence odour beyond the boundary, and these were dated 16th of August, 25th of August, 31st of August and 13th of September 2023. These were all recorded as non-compliances by NIA officials in relation to the conditions of the Regen waste licence. 6 of these odour assessments did not evidence odour beyond the site boundary, contrary to the conditions of the Regen waste licence, and these were dated 25th of July, 5th of September, 20th of September, 9th of October, 27th of October and 15th of November 2023. In terms of collaboration and partnership, during 2023, in relation to the Regen facility, the NIA did directly engage with Newry and Mourne District Council Environmental Health Department, Regen and their environmental consultants, the landowner Warren Point Harbour Authority and the Health and Safety Executive for Northern Ireland. In terms of engagement with elected representatives, the NIA did also engage with, upon request, local councillors, local MLAs and the local MP.
Thank you, John. Item 5 is now Warren Point Harbour. If we could ask you just to come in.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you for your invitation to be here tonight. I'm Gerard O'Hare. I'm Chair of Warren Point Harbour Board. I'm joined tonight on my right with David Holmes, my Chief Executive, and our independent expert from Practical Waste Solutions, David Graham, whom you'll hear from shortly. Just by very way of brief background, in August of last year, when we became aware of the odours around the waste, the RDF waste, we immediately held up our hands and apologised to the public, to our neighbours, to our tenants, and to yourselves, hopefully, as elected representatives. And we took on board to do what we could do along with Regen to make matters better. And on a daily basis, our executive team worked tirelessly with Regen to get an early solution by introducing new procedures and minimizing the likelihood of it recurring and continuing. Now, that wasn't enough for us as a board, as a responsible business. We thought we should go further, and by the end of September, we decided that we wanted to employ an independent expert to come in to tell us what had happened, why it had come about, what was going on, and more importantly, to go going forward, what we could do to make sure that this wouldn't be recurring. It's taken a long time to get there, and thank you for your patience on that, but it's been worthwhile because most important to us was a number of things. A, that the report was independent. Secondly, that it was robust and meticulous. And thirdly, that it was scientifically backed. I'm going to hand over to the author of that report that many of you have read and have seen so far and who's done all the research, David Graham, to take it from here.
Thanks, Jared. Thank you, Chair. It's probably, I'm pressing this. Anything happening? Yep, there we go. I'll do the first one. I think it's worthwhile at this point in time to reinforce what's been said from the point of view of this is an independent report. The terms of engagement were very clear between PWS and the Board of Warren Point Harbour from the outset, that the report would be independent and warts and all. We were engaged by Warren Point Harbour Authority on the 1st of November, and obviously it was to investigate the odour and fly complaints which had been linked to the waste transfer station operated by Regen within the cartilage of the harbour. We accessed and established various data sources, and it's maybe worthwhile just going through what those are. Obviously, the harbour themselves, Tigerts as consultants to Regen, Regen themselves, the NIA, Nearymore and Downing District Council, Environmental Health Department, independent checks which we carried out, SECA as a local stakeholder, Queen's University, NI Water, Irish Water, and obviously local residents as well. That data was pulled together. We actually built up a model, and the model was there to establish if there was a link between vessel movements, cargo, what material is being stored at the point at the port at any one time, what the date of complaints were. It would be worthwhile noting that it was difficult to establish definitively because on occasions the complaints were coming in two or three days after perhaps things had happened, and therefore that kind of skewed the model a bit. However, it did lead us on to other things, which was potential other sources of odour in the area. And these were identified not only as potentially coming from Regen, but from the wastewater treatment works in the town, slurry spreading and so on and so forth. I think it's worthwhile bearing that in mind because, again, speaking with some of the residents, the odours were identified as not only a bin smell, but also a slurry type smell as well. And again, if you look at the fly activity that's been reported in the town, again, you're asking lay people to try and identify flies, but big flies, small flies. Some of those would have been house flies, some of them would have been blue bottles, drain flies, and fruit flies as well. And really only it would be house flies that would ordinarily be associated with waste. The others are, by their name and nature, associated with other things as well. The key findings that came out of the report, let's see, the glasses on. We actually went through all of the CAR reports produced by the NIA. That's the compliance assessment reports to get some kind of a quantum about what the levels of non-compliance were. That's already been pointed out by the NIA. The last date of an odour complaint within a car was 13th of the 9th last year. With our independent odour checks, the most recent one that we have was on the 30th of November 23, and that was in the Claremont Road area and described as transient and very faint. I think since our introduction, there has been a significant improvement in things within the harbour, notwithstanding the fact that there were various remedial strategies carried out by Regen prior to that. We did, during the time since November, find bills that were compromised. Regen have significantly improved the number of bail reps. Industry standard would be 8. They've now gone to 14. And that occurred during the course of last year. And they've also introduced a larvicide and a deodorizer to the bales themselves at their facility at Carnby. We've also noticed a significant reduction in the number of bales, whilst their license permits them to store up to 20,000 tonnes at any one time. That's been significantly reduced. And there has been a new digital bale management plan introduced since the beginning of this year that we have had sight of. And again, they can much more readily track bales coming into the port and bales leaving on the ship. That's obviously reduced the dwell time significantly, which in and of itself will help to reduce any odours or flies coming from the waste. It should be noted that the NIA only issued the car reports directly to Regen as the license holder, and it wasn't until the back end of last year that the harbour received these. That's now been addressed, and again, that was within our recommendations, and I'm pleased to say that that's already taking place. One of the big things was the perceived lack of community engagement, and I believe the CEO, David, will be speaking about that in a moment. And as I say, I've already mentioned the other potential sources of water and flies. Moving on to the key recommendations, there are 12 broad recommendations, and some of those have kind of sub-recommendations as well. But we're looking at a reduction to 6 weeks dwell time, which is significantly less than the license permits, which is up to 3 months. We're looking at a maximum height of 8 bales. Prior to this, it's been up to 9 bales. And as I mentioned earlier, the regulatory correspondence is going to be shared directly between Regen and the harbour. There's been an appointment of an environmental officer by the harbour. He started with the harbour there a couple of weeks ago, and carrying out daily checks as part of his duties as well. And then as oversight to that, PWS will be carrying out independent monitoring on an ongoing basis for at least the rest of this year. And again, we have recommended that there's better stakeholder engagement. With respect to the way forward, Regen have committed in writing all of the recommendations contained within the report as for the harbour. And again, it's all very well producing a report making recommendations. However, it's important that the current standards are maintained. Obviously, we want to avoid a reoccurrence of what happened last year. Regen do have in place contingencies for a potential reoccurrence of the bin strike that happened last year, which certainly will help things, and have significantly increased the moment they'd be exporting during the year.
Thank you, David.
And
this is very important.
Sorry, David. Yeah, well, David was just going to summarise for us, Chair, if that's okay for you. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you. I will literally take just 1 minute. So to conclude, really, I'm iterating three key streams of activity. First of all, Warren Point Harbour Authority is absolutely embracing and implementing these recommendations, and EGM have committed to do likewise. Secondly, we have committed and have started the process of setting up a new community forum that is on top of the existing elected representative forum that we hold, and countless other stakeholder engagement methods. And we're doing that because we absolutely do care about the community. That's evidenced by the activities of our community fund this last 4 years, and evidenced also by the fact as soon as we became aware of this intermittent smell in the summer, we mobilised, and we also commissioned subsequently the expert independent environmental report. And finally, we have enhanced our controls and the resource. David Graham has mentioned the environmental officer. That person is now in station and is helping to monitor the new processes that are largely already in place. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, David. Item 6 is Regen's response to the notice of motion, please.
Okay, so my name is Adrian Thompson. I'm a technical director for Taggart's. We were brought on as an independent advisor for Regen to take an independent review of Warren Point Harbour. Part of that, we have conducted our own surveys, odour surveys, in accordance with the NIEA guidance, as Brian mentioned earlier on, the H4 guidance. This was widespread across all of Warren Point, all the way from the Mound Road, all the way down to the Harbour Square and then around the harbour itself. So our survey started 31st of August, and what we have found out of our 173 odour surveys, on 37 occasions we detected odour of residential receptors. Of those 37 detections, 26 were classified as very faint and intermittent, 11 were faint and intermittent, and that was more sort of towards the start of our surveys. It's now very rare that we get an odour that we could relate to Regen outside their licence boundary. At no time during our 173 surveys did we detect flies in the area. However, there are other odour sources we have found in the area. We've heard of silage and slurry odours. Also two sewage pumping stations, one at the entrance to the harbour, one in the town car park. Fish is also an odour that we detect whenever the boats are being unloaded in the town harbour, as well as a damp type, cardboard type odour coming from other industrial units, and then general traffic fumes from the busy A road. So in terms of compliance, from our review and our involvement, we find that the site has been in compliance with the licence conditions, particularly around emissions to air, which would relate to odour, and the control of pests, which would be flies. On review of the NIEA compliance reports, never has the compliance reports identified the site being non-compliant with noise. In September, it has been scored compliant with odour, and the last four consecutive scheduled inspections have been fully compliant. That's me. I'll hand back to the chair.
Thank you. As all reports are for noting, could I please have a proposer and seconder? Councillor Riley. Seconded by Councillor Kearns. We will now have questions and answers. I will be taking the answers in our questions in batches of three, and I will be taking them according to the queuing system that I have here in front of me. So let's start with Councillor Hanlon.
Thank you, and thanks for the comprehensive presentations that we've had here this evening. I suppose for Sinn Féin, what really needs to be said here this evening, that at the heart of all this is the residents and the community of Warren Point and how this has affected them. I mean, for me, being a Downpatrick councillor, I can only imagine how difficult it must have been. And, you know, it does sound horrendous when you're reading through the reports and you're talking about smells and flies. And even the thought of that, you know, kind of gives me the ick a wee bit, never mind what was actually happening in Warren Point. I suppose to note as well, I would question why would it have taken 3 months for Warren Point Harbour to actually get to the point where they felt they needed to do an independent review? That seems like an excessive amount of time, especially during the summer where you have, you know, obviously it's increased temperatures and smells do seem, you know, obviously they would be heightened at that time of year. And I suppose if we look at all the reports that were given, where will the scrutiny actually come from going forward? You know, like who is going to be taking the lead to scrutinise all the proposals that are here in front of us? And I do welcome that there are improvements in community engagement. But I just, again, would wonder who's going to take the lead, who's going to assess how robust that community engagement is, or, you know, are the community happy with that type of forum, or, you know, are the residents accepting that that's the way forward? And in concern with the role of an environmental health officer, I would ask why was that not in place in the first place, given, you know, the level of, you know, talking about the height of bales, you're talking about, you know, wrapping and all that, you know, intricate detail, but yet there was nobody there to actually oversee it in the first place. So it does appear to be very reactive in my mind anyway. And I suppose it's okay saying you're compliant, but it's compliant meeting what is actually playing out in the public for residents in the community. You know, it's almost as if we're just ticking a box whenever that really wasn't going to work, because we've now learned 6 months down the line that we needed a lot more of a robust, you know, procedure in place to avoid this happening. And I think where we need to leave here tonight is ensuring that this doesn't happen again, that we're not sitting in a meeting this time next year or coming up into the summertime talking about the same things. And I suppose that's where I would ask where the scrutiny is. Like, how much of this is actually legally binding, or, you know, who takes the lead? You know, and I know I've said that before. Because the reality is it is going to affect residents, it is going to affect visitors, it's going to affect the community, the business community. You know, it is a working port right in the middle of a very vibrant town. You know, so it's just to ask those questions, and I don't know which agency is going to be able to answer them. I'll let you decide that. And I suppose the thing is, too, that, you know, all parties need to engage and independent councillors with all agencies, and I think that's important, that that level of communication does happen. And I would expect as well that, you know, as we move forward and scrutinise and how this will actually work and play out, what sort of reports are we going to be given as elected reps, and, you know, how will we know that it's working, and how can we stop it getting to the point where, you know, we need to intervene again. So that they're just a couple of notes I've made during your presentation.
Thank you, Councillor Hanlon. Councillor McAteer.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. And again, it's I suppose it's very welcome time when we see so many people gathered with interest in actually solving this and determining the cause, the outcomes and solution to this. So I welcome the work that's been done, even though it has taken some time.
but I think we're in a better place than we were. I have, and again, sorry, and that really is what the residents of our area want to see, and indeed those visiting our area as well, and that we would want to welcome into our area for all the best possible reasons associated with this council. Now, the question I have, one is, Sinead, our environmental health officer. Just Sinead, for information, can you explain why the nuisance threshold has not been met? And what, just explain to us what the threshold is. Given the observations your own report contains, do you consider the 3-month bail storage license term as safe and adequate? 6 weeks is now the target date for storage. It's the target date. You find the target date is acceptable as our environmental officer. Also, the environmental health report did not mention any other sources of possible smell, which the other independent report did. That was the sewage and certain lesser agreement the fish plus the slurry. An open question is to yourself and others. The recently introduced digital bail management system is now in place. How can this be verified and monitored on behalf of the public? This is quite key to the perceived storage system. The NAEA question to them is, one of the issues which stood out jumped out of the page to me in the independent report was the fact that you, the NAA, are not obliged to share any breaches with anyone other than the licence holder. Do you believe this is appropriate on reflection? Do you believe this, it's conducive to public confidence? The fact that you didn't, and as far as I understand, you don't? And does your department need to make changes to the protocols that possibly allow you to do that? Urge you to do that, and do our environmental health team believe that they should have been informed, as well as the landlord, the board. The other thing that stood out to me, and I'm sure there's plenty of other questions people want to ask about these things, about was the independent report also pointed to the possible culpability on NI Water not here tonight through the discharge of sewage into the flood flats. No records are kept of any sort, no records of times, volume, or anything else. And I think it's indicative that the report says that they've now agreed to desilt some of the lines going through the town. So while they may not carry a large weight of culpability, they can deduce from the reports. It seems that there is a possibility there as well of a contributing factor. And I think they need to come clean on this. They need to make sure the people of our area that there will be regular desilting of their pipelines in as well. So, Chair, thank you for those initial questions that I have, which I think covers most of it, may have supplementaries depend on the answers.
Thank you, Chairperson. I suppose comments and my colleague, Councillor Marcus, here has made probably indicates and reflects that there's going to be a lot of crossover here between comments councillors are making and questions that we may wish to ask. So, and I wish to do both, Chair. So, just take it in the order that was presented and the questions I have for Sinead. Within page 3 of Sinead's report, you know, it says it has been concluded there is a correlation between what's happening down there on the issue itself. And you get two paragraphs down, it states that the threshold not yet been met. And, you know, sometimes maybe an objective observer could suggest that those are contradictory views. And go back to something Una had said. I suppose we cannot lose sight of the fact why we're here tonight. The residents of Warren Point who have been affected by this, and it is an ongoing issue for them, an issue of torment to some degree. And those people throughout 2023, when this issue first raised its head, to this point don't feel they have been listened to or respected to the degree that they should have been. But I will concede and I will wholeheartedly agree with Declan McAteer that tonight itself shows that people are taking the issue seriously and progress is being made. So go back to my questions for Sinead. I also want to know, Sinead, you point out there is a correlation, and but yet there is no statutory nuisance findings. So what exactly is that threshold? And if the threshold was reached, what does an abatement notice actually mean? And final question for yourself, Sinead, is there equipment of some sort used to undertake odour monitoring assessments, or do we just use the human smell test as well? Moving on to the environmental agency. Something really jumped out at me here, which was within their own report, it shows that the highest level of complaints were in July and August. And there was non-compliance on the 16th, 25th, 31st of August and the 13th of September. Those are within the NAE report. Yet the capacity was increased, I believe, fourfold in September 2023 during the period where complaints were already being reported and received. So, how was that factored into the decision to increase the capacity from 100 and something tonnes per annum to 500,000 tonnes per annum, whilst there was being complaints received? And then to home in on 20,000 tonne storage and the 3 month dwell time. What is that based on? How are those figures arrived at? And is that a movable feast? And can the NAEA decrease both that 20,000 tonne capacity at any one time and the 3 month period? Because that's directly related to the aspirational targets that the David Graham's report to the WHA has recommended. And another point that someone else raised, which was the non-compliance notice details. I was led to believe we're only shared from NAEA to Regen. So our own Environmental Health Office nor the WHA board were privy to those figures. So can that all be tidied up and brought together and everybody knows exactly what's going on? And then moving on to the WHA themselves, I largely welcome David Graham's report. I think it's very comprehensive. But I do have to express the concerns of the residents that they do not feel that it is fully independent by virtue of the fact that David's company has been commissioned by the Harbour to undertake that report. But by and large, I welcome the report. It is very detailed. And, I mean, the Harbour Authority themselves don't escape blame within that report, which is something to be welcomed. And I think page 7 of that report is a fairly good summary of the stuff that needs to be done. David Holmes, I think, did say that the environmental officer with the Harbour Authority is in place. But the only point, the only other point I want to make in relation to the Harbour Authority is this thing about, you know, target me is an aspirational word that everybody works towards achieving, but I definitely would like to see that as a condition. And if that has to come from the NIEA, well, then those discussions have to take place. And finally, to Regen themselves, very much welcome the digital bail management system, which hopefully will vastly eat into that 12-week dwell time period and 14 wraps rather than 8. So those two issues themselves indicate to me that Regen are a very responsible company that are trying their damnedest here to deal with an issue that that was sprung upon the people of Warren Point unintentionally by the company. They haven't buried their head in the sand. They're trying to deal with it, and I accept that. And I don't think we have any choice here, Chairperson, but to try and see these new mitigation measures put in place in the hope and expectation that they work. But I will finish on this point. Engagement with the local community at all times and at all levels is paramount. Everybody has to know what's going on. We have to act very quickly if these additional mitigation measures are found not to be working, and see what other improvements can be put in place. But I leave it at that, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Tinley. I now want to ask NIEA to come in with response to any questions directed at them. Sorry, the way I'm going to do it is go through each of the organisations and let them respond to the questions that have been asked. So I'll ask NIEA to come in first.
We start first with Councillor Tinley, if you don't mind. Councillor Tinley referred to the highest number of complaints being received around July and August, and an increase of threshold in that the throughput of the facility. With respect, Chair, the NIA or the Department through NIA is in receipt of a judicial review application in relation to matters concerning that, so it wouldn't be appropriate to discuss that matter any further this evening or take any further questions on it. In terms of the question around the 20,000 ton storage and the 3 month dwell time, and where does that come from? That is lifted really out of the planning permission and associated with the planning permission, the 20,000 ton at any one time. The 3 month storage time, and I think that's been asked of a couple of councillors there, that is taken out of industry best practice for the storage of RDF at dock sites. It's written into quite a number of waste management licences in Northern Ireland, and I would say the same across the UK where those operations are in place. Can the NIA decrease the 20,000 tonne storage limit and the 3 month timeline? At this stage, there'll be no decrease of that 20,000 tonne at any one time or the 3 month timeline. And the issue around the non compliance reports not being shared with other stakeholders in the process, I suppose NIA's statutory responsibility is with a licence holder. And where there is a licence holder in place who is renting land off a landowner, it is still NIA's responsibility to deal with the licence holder. Now, throughout the process, and even before the issues of odour have came to fruition in the summer of last year, ourselves and Warren Point Harbour Authority would have had engagements. So the NIA do engage with landowners. However, in terms of issuing reports, specifically in relation to data protection, GDPR issues, they will only be shared from the NIA with the licence holder. there may be a local agreement in place, and that has come out through the PWS report, where the waste operator will share those reports with the landowner. But yeah, statutory responsibility sits solely with the licence holder in that regard.
Thank you, Brian. I ask Warren Point Harbour to give us their responses, please.
Okay, yeah. Thank you very much. I'll just cover some general items that all the councillors raised, and I think David might then fill in a little bit on that, and maybe both Davids. First of all, in relation to the targets that you referred to, Councillor Tindley, the good news is that both ourselves and Regen and all the stakeholders to this report have accepted the recommendations and do agree that we're going to make a strenuous effort to achieve those targets. So that's as much as I can offer you at this stage, but that's what we're doing, and it is a good step forward in relation to that. And I think if you buried further with David Graham, he would say that, because we're reducing the time period that we'll be holding bales on site, and by reason of the new measures, we should have a lot less bales on site going forward as well. In relation to compliance and monitoring, Councillor Hanlon, it's not Warren Point Harbour's duty to monitor compliance. However, we are now taking a much more proactive approach in relation to that. The licence lies entirely between the MIEA and Regen, and we are effectively a landlord renting space to a tenant. But having taken in our new environmental officer, which we were bringing in anyway, not just necessarily on the back of this, it will help us to monitor on a daily basis. On top of that, we have retained the services of PWS going forward on a bi-weekly inspection basis. And PWS work also with Professor Dick from Queen's University. So we will have continuous monitoring on a professional basis from them as well for at least the rest of this year. And that has been agreed. In relation to the report not being independent, I mean, it's as independent as you can be. One of the reasons, I know you thought we were a bit late maybe getting it going, but we decided on this in September. We became aware of the problem in August, the 15th of August, around that weekend. By the middle of September, we decided we needed to go further and bring in an independent review. We had to go through a tendering process, so that took us up to the end of October. It has taken 4 months, and it's frustrated everyone. It's frustrated us. It's frustrated the public. It's frustrated all of yourselves waiting for it, and we've all had to be very patient. But we wanted to do it diligently. We wanted to do it to make sure that it was robust, to make sure that it was scientifically backed. And I think we have produced something that, you know, we can now stand over and go forward with as a working tool. Finally, in relation to community and reporting back to yourselves, very, very important point to be making. How do we communicate better? And I think as a board and as an organisation, in recognising that we do need to create a new community forum, and we're in the process of doing that, and that should be up and running within the next few months. We've taken on board what a lot of you councillors and other elected representatives said to us. We realise that perhaps our communication needs to improve. But as an organisation, Warren Point Harbour hasn't been a closed door. It's been an open door to anyone who ever wanted to come in to meet us, and we've met with many groups. We have a public AGM. We have 40% of our seats on our board, of our non-executive seats, available to yourselves. You appoint your representatives, representing all of you, for 40% of our seats on our board with no influence whatsoever from us. We have nothing to do with that. We accept your nominees and your appointees. Now, your elected members who sit on our board are representing you, and they're available on a 24/7 as each of you as an elected representative is to your constituents. So there is that conduit already, we would feel, as a board with yourselves, and hopefully we can enhance that. We also have a quarterly meeting where each of you, all of the elected representatives in the entire area, not just councillors, but MLAs and the MP, are all invited to come along and meet with us on a quarterly basis. And we had another one of those, I think, last week, just. And that continues to happen as well. So we have that relationship. And as I say, and as David referred to earlier, we do reach out to our community on a local basis, you know, through our what we call a Christmas fund. We support no less than 70 organizations in the greater Warren Point and Newry Morningdown area. We do that as best we can through the good offices of our stakeholders and our tenants. And now we will have this community fund, which will be a direct link, but it will include elected representatives, it will include businesses, it will include community, hopefully people from with specific skills that are relevant to both of us, and some of our tenants and stakeholders, that so that there will be that constant communication and that bar between the community and people and our operators and ourselves at the port. So we're doing our best, and we have more. We recognise and accept we have further to go, but this is a genuine response to all of this, and I'd like you to take that as it's being given to you. David, do you want to add anything to that?
I think that was very comprehensive, but just to reiterate again the independence piece, the Council of Environmental Health, 100% independent, as is the Northern Ireland Environment Agency, as is Practical Waste Solutions. So we've actually got three different bodies, excluding Warren Point Harbour Authority itself. We are most motivated, if you like, to make sure we keep this right, because it's not our intention to frustrate a single resident. So notwithstanding that Warren Point Harbour Authority is absolutely committed to working as closely as they need to with Regen to keep this 100%, three other bodies monitoring what those two committed organisations are doing. Warren Point Harbour Authority Chair covered off. Any other questions? Thanks.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. We now ask Regen for their response, please.
I'll maybe not repeat what a lot of other people have said, but sort of pick up on the bits that are sort of left behind. So in terms of, as mentioned, the bail management system that the others haven't commented on, I have taken both NIEA and environmental health officers through the bail management system on site. So officers from both departments have had the ability to see that. They know where it is. They know where to ask for it. They can view that at any time that they're on site. That's the level of scrutiny on that going forward. That's Councillor Tinley, sort of one of his questions. There has been significant improvements made. I guess single one has been the increase in shipping, which will continue, and the increased speed of turnover of the material on site, as well as the increase in the bale wraps. Going forward on the communication sort of piece, to bolt on to all the other bits and pieces that have been agreed to, the assessment reports being shared, I've extended to both NIEA and the EHO. An open invite to regular meetings with Regen, so we can have a three-way discussion on a regular basis just to keep everybody up to date on what's happening at the port, progress, share any concerns, and if there's anything coming to light, they can be acted upon very quickly.
Thank you. Ed, can we now ask you for environmental health, please?
Thank you, Chair. So to pick up, first of all, in relation to the statute of nuisance and the threshold not being met. In section 2.4 of the report, I refer to the eight factors that are considered in relation to motor nuisance and statute of nuisance. So these are the impact on the receptor, locality, time, frequency, duration, mention, importance of the activity and avoidability. So, as outlined in the report, monitoring was carried out on 219 occasions at multiple locations. Odour was detected as being faint or very faint on 15 occasions at residential properties. Now, in residential areas and residential properties, I'll just correct that. So, this equates to the odour being detected at only 7% of occasions, which was not deemed to meet the threshold for statute of nuisance under the Clean Air Act. noted in the report. I'll just come back to the point in relation to Councillor Tinley about the correlation, vision around the correlation of personnel related to activities at Warren Point Port, and then the threshold not being met. So I will just explain, and you'll see within the report that while the monitoring was carried out on a high number of activities at each of those times of monitoring, in the initial period of the additional monitoring, there were 5 locations that monitoring took place. And when we went through to the period of enhanced monitoring, there were 7 locations. So some of these were at car parks in a region of the harbour, and others were at the residential addresses. So it was the same environmental health officers that were undertaking the monitoring. And while they detected stronger smell closer to the port, and that smell was the smell that was associated with the RDF bales, as they moved away from the port to the residential areas, what they found was that the smell, the intensity of the smell decreased and became faint, or very faint. And probably due to natural dispersion, dilution, and etc. In relation to the monitoring and equipment available, there is no specific equipment, and it's the same test as the colleagues in NIEA use. So it is the smell detection test which is carried out in accordance with the guidance that was provided. And I'll just link back to a question from the Tier in relation to other smells. So we haven't noted that in the report. However, part of the monitoring that was carried out by the environmental health officers, they noted on their records if there was other smells detected. So other smells that had been detected were things like sewage, smells from fish, which you'd be expecting in the port area, and even smell like chimney smoke from residential property. So other smells have been noted by the environmental health officers, and they were defined separately from the RDF smell. Just sticking with statutory nuisance and the question then relating to what an abatement notice means. So a notice is served where the threshold is met around established for a statutory nuisance. And serving of that notice requires a person of persons that it is served on to abate the nuisance and prevent a recurrence within a specified time period. So that's with a period of at least 21 days, which ties in with the appeal period for such a notice. Once a notice is served, as I said, the time is given for remedies to be put in place. And if further breaches occur, the Environmental Health Department would proceed to legal proceedings. So I just would refer to Section 6314 of the regulations. So in an instance like this, where there is other regulations that that are enforced, for example, Environment and Border and Industrial Pollution Control, that, for example, NIA enforce, Regulation 6314 requires the Council to get consent from the Department before proceeding with legal proceedings. So just important to note that that's in the legislation. The queries then in relation to the consideration of whether the bale storage is safe and adequate would be acceptable to environmental health. Those activities that relate to the waste management licence and relate to activities at the regen facility, they fall under the waste management licence, which is issued and compliance is monitored by NIEA. In terms of acceptability, we would be referring to NIA for advice on that. the same with the scrutiny, Councillor Hanlon's question. So we assess that. So where there is a statutory nuisance consideration, that would be investigated, but if it relates to the licence conditions, that will be referred through to NIA. And I suppose just to conclude that if in relation to scrutinising the complaints getting to the period in the report have been concluded. Why should any new complaints be made to the department, new investigations would be opened and would be investigated. Chair.
Thank you, Sinead. Councillor Gibbons.
Thank you, Chair. Right, where do we start?
I'll be quick as possible. I'm very disappointed that it's taken nearly 5 months to get to this point. But anyway, we'll motor on. A quick question to Sinead regarding officers' residential, officers calling to residents. When you call to the residents, Sinead, if there was nobody in, for example, Villa Grove, Lower Drumore Road, Bridal Loan, and especially Bridal Loan has a huge amount of residents up there, one of the biggest cul-de-sacs in Europe, and I received a large amount of complaints from the Bridal. So when a visitor called to the door and there's no answer, what happens next? Was there a card, a leaflet? Was there something left through the door to say, look, we called at such and such time. That's what I'm hearing from the residents, especially of Lower Drumore Road, Villa Grove, Claremont Gardens, Murray Street, that yes, there was word that officers were calling, but people go to their work and there was nothing left in through the door to say, like, I can phone this number, I can contact somebody within environmental health. So that muddies the waters, as pardon the pun. I'm bitterly disappointed in the reports themselves. I think they're very patronising at times. The most important stakeholders of Warren Point are the people of Warren Point, and I don't know. I just think the report, the three reports, are very wishy-washy. This term that basically that there's nothing to be worried about, that there's only a nuisance, there's only a bit of a smell, and everybody should move on. It's shocking. The amount of people came to me. I received the most complaints about this issue than any other issue as a councillor. And a couple of examples, just very simply, would be the Wake the Giant Festival. One day, 56 complaints, sitting there, standing there with my own child and smelling it myself, and mortified to be standing there in Warren Point to get this smell. And the smell's coming from the port, it's coming from regen, it's not coming from the sewers, it's not coming from what was the other excuse that was made? The bin strikes. Cannot believe that the report, the people that compiled these reports have lowered themselves to say that the bin strikes played a part in the smell. So yes, I'm a postman. We're in regularly 6 occasions in Mary Street. We had to close the office in the morning to make sure that the smell didn't come into the office. 15 of us in the office, coming from the port. It's absolutely disgusting. So I think the whole thing is very watered down. I think that the residents of Warren Point really weren't listened to. It was a half-hearted approach. There was a lot of residents complained about the noise. That really hasn't been brought up. The noise that's been made in the middle of the night, if that was brushed aside. 12 members of staff from the port contacted me privately saying that they couldn't stand the smell and that they had sore heads, regular sore heads, and the flies, size of the flies were big blue bottles. They couldn't concentrate on the work, and that's people within the port. So what on earth would it have been like for people in the, well, I know for the people, for example, the Lower Drumore Road, because I went and visited them, and it was absolutely shocking what they had to go through. Now, thankfully, on a more upbeat note, the smell has gone away, I feel. I can't smell anything anymore. I think the problem has been dealt with. I haven't had any more complaints. I'm all in around Warren Point every day. I haven't smelled it in a number of weeks. But I hope to God it's just the end of this saga. So I want to know what the next steps are from the three different bodies. And honestly, I don't want to hear
I just don't want to hear nonsense. The people of Warm Point want to hear a proper plan. Is this going to happen again? Are we going to get these bales coming in en masse? Or is it a lesson learned? And that'll do me with my rant, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Gibbons. Councillor Lee Sertiner.
Thank you, Chair. My questions have been answered by other. My questions have been asked by other councillors, so I want to take this opportunity to thank the presenters tonight and for the reports. Alliance hope that these recommendations will help to relieve the order and that WHA and Regen will commit to evolving the recommendations, whether it be digitally with use of AI or further compliance through other means, to ensure that we're not in the same situation again a year or two or three in the future, and that we welcome the suggested community forum because, as other councillors have stated, at the end of the day, it's the residents that have to deal with this. It's the residents that have to live through this day and night, all time of the year, and you know it's them, it's their lives at the end of the day. So thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Lee Sertiner. Councillor McAteer, you looking in again?
Yes, yeah, I think I did sort of say it.
Could you be brief, please?
I will indeed. Yeah, very brief indeed, and hopefully get answers this time. First of all, NEA, Brian, thanks for your name. Brian, you didn't really knuckle down into my question, really, as far as I can make out. Data protection is a great hiding place, in my opinion, for those who either can't answer questions or choose not to. Say that kindly. I'm not happy at all with that, because I offered you the chance to say, are you happy on reflection with the situation that arose? And did you think that your department needed to make a change to its protocols, which you didn't answer? You said it was 3 months, it was tied up with planning. That really wasn't the question to ask. But I need you to answer that. I need you to be more full in your answer to that. Sinead, I mentioned the fact that you as our environmental department are our only recourse, really. You're the only one we have control of. That's why I asked the questions, were you happy and content with what you're saying in the reports? And we as councillors and representatives, we represent the people who have subject to this, and indeed the council is subject to it as well. So that's why I asked the question, were you content that what is there, or does there need to be a further review of this? Not necessarily now, because we do have to give people the chance, and they have taken up the cudgel here and seem to want to really do something about this, in my opinion, through the reports and actions, etc. But you're the only recourse we have. We can't summon these people all the time. So our work as councillors must be done through yourselves in the environmental department. And that's why I asked the questions about your opinion as the head of that and what you thought in terms of was there enough given what had happened. And is this the license for 3 months adequate at the moment, or do you think that should be revisited after a period of time? And around the management, Regen said they're taking the environmental department and Warm Bay Harbour through the system again. Is that system robust enough, in your opinion? And could we stand over it in 12 months' time when sometimes things get a bit slacker? That's all we're looking for here, really. A few guarantees. We don't want to put anybody up against the wall, particularly, but we still want to have something in place that actually will work.
Thank you, Councillor McAteer. Councillor Riley.
Thanks very much, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I'll just point out that during that period, I had received complaints from Warm Point residents, and myself and Dan Forsyth, our MLA, requested a meeting with the company involved and port officials, and we were granted that. And I was actually very impressed with the degree of mitigation that was actually taking place at that time. And it was pointed out to ourselves that this was majority light bin waste. And at that time, our bin collection service was in turmoil with strikes and vehicle breakdowns and a load of things. And I think there were instances where there could have been maybe an additional month or 6 weeks of fermentation taking place before it actually got to regen. And there was also extenuating circumstances of marine transport not being available to actually move the stuff to, I think it was Sweden, for incineration. So, you know, we have to take on board the point that this is commercial operation and they were trying their best. And I would also point out that if you go to Greenbank in Uri, there were periods there where the sewage treatment works was just totally unbearable. I mean unbearable. You could hardly have driven through Uri. Whenever ABP Limited was emptying their sludge tanks with guts and stuff from cattle and sheep and water, unbearable smells. In Kilkeel at the Rooney Road, the sewage treatment plant, whenever the herring season was in and the guts, whatever, from the herring were going into the sewage treatment plants and overwhelming it, and Glenn can tell you, the smell was absolutely unbearable. And we never got any attention like this. So the degree of investigation and oversight in this instance has been quite incredible to me, and you have to ask why whenever all these other ones are ignored. But I wanted to ask the company, Regen, given the mitigation measures that are now in place, especially the one going from 3 months to 6 weeks, are you certain now that this issue has been resolved for the people of Warren Point? And can I also point out that whenever myself and Diane Forsyth did visit the harbour, whenever I went home, I was able to contact some of the people who had contacted us and reassure them that there was measures taking place and they were doing their best to get it. And they were content that somebody had got back to them with that reassurance. Whereas some people seem to want to make a jamboree out of it in the local press for whatever reason, I do not know. But certainly I want that reassurance that the mitigation measures will be effective. And could you comment on that point about the overdue bin collections at that time and the amount of black waste that was going in, you know, maybe 4 to 6 weeks later than it should have, and the effects of that. But I hope that this has got the issue resolved now. And maybe this could be a template for future issues, like Amalone sewage treatment plants, like Kilkeel, like Newry, when it does happen. And we could get the same degree of oversight and investigation. But thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. I'm going to take NIEA in first for their responses, please.
Take it back to Councillor Gibbon, on the next steps for NIEA. I suppose in the next week or so, it'll be the new financial year. We will reassess our number of compliance assessments that need to be carried out at all facilities across Northern Ireland, including Regen. It's likely to increase to 6 or 8, I'm not sure yet, but we will be scheduling monitored inspections at the Regen facility throughout the next financial year, and that is the case every year to any licence holder. All visits are unannounced unless we specifically need a member of Regen or their consultants to be in attendance to speak about a specific matter. So you can be assured that unannounced visits are the way forward, and always are the way forward for ourselves. So that answers that question. Councillor McAteer, around the couple of things around the protocols around the sharing of the site inspection reports with all bodies and all parties. And whilst I recognise the frustrations around this, I and my team must work within the legislative framework, associated policies and procedures within our remit. Specifically, our site inspection reports do stray into issues which data protection does become to the fore. These often include people's signatures, phone numbers, email addresses, but also, most importantly, it deals sometimes with financial provision arrangements those arrangements are specifically between ourselves and the licence holder and not the landlord or not any other regulatory body. So there is sensitivities around the sharing of those reports. However, in conclusion, I do accept the one of the recommendations out of the PWS report is that there is a sharing agreement in place specific to the regen reports now, and that already is in place and happening. So that's really all I can say on that matter. There is sensitivities around it, and will we be changing our protocol on that? No is the answer on that. And that's it from me.
Thank you. Warren Feinfort.
As regards multiple complaints, Councillor, given as we've said to you often, if you can sort of share those with us, then we can and will follow them up. As regards noise, we recently completed with professional accredited experts independent noise monitoring day and night, which confirmed that the port sitting safely within any kind of recognised decibel limits. Both
I can't be true. I can't be right.
Both day and night.
Councillor Gibbons. Sorry, not interrupt, please.
We've offered to share that with the report with Environmental Health, and it was completed. It was completed during February, including during loading operations, D-truck discharge operations, whatever other activities may have been going on. The fact of the matter is that according to that noise monitoring, the Narrowwater roundabout is the noisiest thing in that entire area overnight. I am not aware that 12 members of my staff have contacted you privately, so it's difficult for me to comment on that. I'll ask David Graham in a moment to comment on blue bottles, because it's our understanding that blue bottles are not typically synonymous with RDF.
That's the patronising tone that the people of Warm Point
Councillor Gibbons.
Well, it's not intended to be.
That's not fair.
So I'm going to ask David Graham, who more of an expert in these areas.
Please.
Give it 4 months, Chair, for this meeting, so...
In response to the question about blue bottles, blue bottles are not associated with RDF waste. I think as I pointed out during the earlier Barney B house flies. Now I understand it is difficult for lay people to maybe make a distinction between blue bottles and house flies. If there's a fair difference in size between both of them. Blue bottle would be 3-4 times the size of a house fly. And I think that if you ask, was it a big fly or was it a small fly, then they're perfectly able to identify either without specifically knowing the names. I interviewed 49 residents. That was off the back of complaints that had come in to Warren Point Harbour. And to be frank, the response was quite poor. I think there were 25 directly to the harbour. Sorry, 22 had come in directly to the harbour, and the rest of those were garnered from me asking residents whom I'd interviewed if they were happy to speak to their neighbours, and that is where the rest of them come.
Regen, Councillor Gibbon.
Yes, taking those in turn. So obviously there's on-site monitoring done, which both PWS, Environmental Health and NIEA can have access to in terms of the on-site fly counts, the on-site odour assessments. In terms of plan going forward, bail management system is there. It is working very well. It's always under review. And any party can come in and review that at any point in time. It is a live system. That's the idea behind it now. It is, it's live, it's up to date. It will always represent what is on site. There's been a lot of work obviously done to try and improve activities at the port, particularly the increase in shipping and the increase in the bail wrap. And we have found a great improvement, particularly in the last few months, in the situation there, and we hope to continue that. And part of that is that commitment that we have given to the agencies involved to be open. We're open. We want to discuss these matters. That's why we offered the regular meetings with them, so everybody's up to speed. We can discuss matters and try and work together if a matter comes up to resolve it quickly. I think that's just touching on the six-week sort of bin strike. Haggards weren't involved at that stage, but as you can imagine, materials received at a facility in a more odorous state, they have to treat what is there, and ultimately the side effect of that was it ended up down at the harbour for export. But there's now contingency measures, lessons learned, that we can put in place to try and mitigate things like that if something like that was to happen again.
Thank you.
Yes, we believe the measures we've put in place will go a long way to preventing this.
Thank you. Response from Environmental Health.
Thank you, Chair. To address questions from Councillor Gibbons, in relation to what the process is when an Environmental Health Officer calls to investigate a complaint and a resident isn't there, the normal procedure would be that it would be left at the property. I believe that is the process that will be in place, so that we just follow that up to ensure that happens on all occasions. I would say that the environmental protection team that respond to these is a very small team, and additional support was brought in from the environmental health team that are based at the port. So they would have carried out those additional monitoring. I think it's section 2.3 of the report, with those additional monitoring visits at the seven locations. Those visits would have been carried out, as I said, at early hours, late evenings at various times, and they would have been in the vicinity of the areas that we were aware of where the complaints, the majority of the complaints were coming. And so they would have monitored the levels at the residential areas, but may not have gone to a specific property, if that makes sense. So residents may not have received a card unless it was a visit to a specific property on that date. Raise a point about noise complaints. So the notice of motion relates to odour complaints. So the detail in relation to noise complaints received to the department isn't available for tonight's meeting. We report it back to the relevant committee. Councillor McAteer, to come back to your query, the waste management licence condition or the responsibility of NIEA. However, should we have served a statutory notice in relation to statutory nuisance, we would need to be satisfied that statutory nuisance dealt with. So the steps that have been taken in relation to bail wrapping and reduced timeframes are, as a department, we would see those as positive steps. The Environmental Health Officers did visit the site last week and they did view the new system, and I've had positive feedback in relation to that. And going forward, we will continue to engage with NIEA, Regen and 1.5 authority. Should further complaints arise, as I've said earlier on, new investigations will be opened and monitoring.
Ed, I'm now going to bring in Andrew Castle specifically on the bins.
Thank you, Chair. Members, I just want to put the record straight because there was no bin strike. There was industrial action taken short of strike, and there were two fortnightly periods last year during which the trade unions decided to work to rule. So there was no strike, per se. Those two fortnightly periods were the weeks commencing the 10th of April and the 17th of April, 23, and the weeks of the 17th of July and the 24th of July, 23. Following those two fortnights of industrial action, the situation was recovered in both instances within the fortnight. Obviously, one of those weeks would have been a blue bin week and the other would have been a black bin week. But I just want to clarify, members, there was no bin strike. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew, for the clarity. Councillor Tinley, I am going to let you come back in again briefly. I have a number of councillors here who haven't spoken yet. So
yes, thank you very much, Chairperson. And I just want to come back on based on a couple of answers I was given. But before I do that, Chairperson, I want to reiterate, it would be very churlish of us as councillors not to recognise that everybody accepts there was a major problem here in Warren Point, but everybody also accepts and are doing their damnedest to try and mitigate against that going forward. And I personally hope that those mitigation measures are a complete success and this issue remains under review. Now, I'll get straight to it. NIEA, I don't feel one of the questions I asked was adequately answered. And it was in relation to the volume on the dwelling time in the event that these mitigations don't work. So, NIEA, I think, and forgive me if I'm misquoting here, was those figures were based on best practice, but in the event that these mitigations don't work, and I'm going to reframe the question because of that, under what circumstances would NIEA reduce that storage capacity and the dwell time? And then moving to Sinead. Sinead, my understanding of your response in relation to the threshold for the nuisance, the statutory nuisance threshold, is a percentage of the readings that are undertaken or the investigations that are undertaken by the council. Now, you said the percentage was sort of, for want of a better term, successful hits was 7%, but you didn't actually tell us what the threshold is. And I also think it's very, very important that the message goes out here from this chamber that irrespective of the percentage of successful smell investigations that take place, regardless of the number of investigations that are carried out, I think it's important that the message goes out from here that 100% of the complaints that come in from members of the public are taken seriously and will be investigated because, you know, there could be a smell on a Monday and it's not there on a Tuesday. It could be back on a Friday and it's not there on a Sunday. So we have to be cognizant of that and, you know, remind people that we do take these complaints seriously and everything will be investigated. And I think that's the message that has to go out there. Chair, thank you very much for your indulgence.
Councillor Gibbons, as with Councillor Tinley, I'll let you come back in again briefly. As stated,
thank you, Chair.
We have some councillors looking in who haven't spoken yet.
Thank you, Chair. Just to answer Sinead's comment, it's my understanding, Sinead, that talking to residents all in around that lower end, Lorsamore Road and Villa Grove and Dermot Gardens, Newry Street, Short Street, Bridalonan, that there might have been a knock on the door and that was it. There was nothing, no cards, no leaflets. Hello, we called, can you call this number? So I think that's critical, because it would have given a lot of people a chance to contact the council. And just one more point, that a bit of an elephant in the room, and it annoys me slightly, where there's a glowing report from Councillor Riley about the reports in question, and then we'll have to remember that the DUP sit on the board of the Harbour Authority. So there's a conflict of interest there, which people can see straight through. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Gibbons, you have made an accusation against councillors. You wish to withdraw it.
I'll withdraw the comment, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Gibbons. Councillor Hanlon, I'm going to, Councillor Tennelly and Gibbons.
I'm going to be brief and very aware Councillor Devlin hasn't spoken yet. I suppose for me and for our grouping, I said it at the outset, what we're looking at here is how we stop this happening again. And I know I've listened intently to everybody's point of view this evening, but at the end of the day, you know, we have to remember it's the residents who are affected, it's the community that's affected, it's the visitors who are affected. And we can talk about thresholds and talk about compliance and talk about flies. And, you know, I'm sorry, when we talk about blue bottles or fly, I don't know the difference and residents don't know the difference. But to go back to Councillor Gibbons' point, if 56 people had contacted me, it worries me that Warren Point Harbour are sitting here this evening saying that they're not aware of the detail of those complaints. And I do think you referenced that, David, that you wanted to hear. So were those complaints not passed on, or is there a breakdown in communication? Because I think moving out of the chamber tonight, what we want to see is that there's scrutiny, communication, sharing of information, and that we as elected reps and every single one of us in the chamber here are encouraging people to take part in them community forums, encouraging them to come forward with whatever their complaints are, and then we as elected reps or board members or whatever it may be can take them into the heart of where it matters and get the thing sorted out, because we cannot let this happen again this summer. It's just, or at any time of the year. And I do take on board that there does seem to have been a huge delay. I do take on board there was a lot of reports done, a lot of scrutiny done. But see, as a resident, that people don't care about that. They want things sorted out quickly. And going back to Councillor Riley's point, sometimes a phone call to them or some sort of communication to them, a letter drop, it sounds so simple, but it means a lot to people. Especially, there's nothing worse than your voice not being heard. And that's why I just think this evening we've had a really good discussion around it, but we need to move forward and we need to make sure it doesn't happen again, and that, you know, we're not being brought back in here in another couple of months to have the same reports put in front of us and for the same complaints to be there.
Thank you, Councillor Hanlon. Councillor Devlin.
Thank you, Chair, and I welcome the reports in front of us, the discussion that took place this evening, and you'll be glad to know I'm not going to regurgitate all the questions of it, and we're getting quarter to eight, we're getting far on in the evening time. And I think Una did touch upon a lot of the points I was going to make about how this is about the people of Warren Point, and I do think that progress has been made in terms of the reports that are before us this evening. So really, Chair, what I want to do is maybe propose a couple of actions about how we move on from this evening. I know that Brian's explained very clearly there in terms of limitations that NIAA have and the GDPR and the legislative framework that they operate within. But I think that's, and again, I welcome very much the information sharing protocol between Regen and the Warren Point Harbour Authority. I think that's really important. But I think that probably is something that probably needs formalised, and even not just for Warren Point Port, but right across the board. So one of the proposals, Chair, that I was hoping to make was perhaps that we do write to the Environment Minister and ask him to take a look at the situation here in terms of the information sharing protocol to see, is there a policy workaround or is there some way of that redacted information going to the different landowners directly as opposed to it having to be a very much a localised arrangement, Chair. That was the first element of the proposal. The second element is one that Councillor McAteer has already touched upon very much so, to do with Northern Ireland Water. I think that response from Northern Ireland Water really is quite unacceptable. They really should have data in terms of what's been discharged into the sea. I think as a council we should be writing to Northern Ireland Water and asking them to why they haven't been collecting that data. Clearly they haven't been, but can they begin to collect it to see if that is a contributing factor in terms of what we're dealing with here at Warren Point itself. And then I think lastly, the meeting tonight's been really, really useful in terms of the open door policy, I think, with all the bodies that are here. I think that's something that we should continue with. I appreciate that Warren Point Harbour Authority have the elected members forum set up, but I think even in this environment, I think that might be something very good we could maybe look at and review. Hopefully we're moving in the right direction, but we are moving into the spring, summer, the increased temperatures, that maybe we look at something similar come September again. So I think, Chair, there's a couple of wee proposals there, if that was...
We have a seconder for Laura's proposals, please. Councillor Hanlon. So the questions that have been asked will be asked NIE to respond and any closing remarks they have.
Just to come back again, sorry, to Councillor Tenley's query. Apologies if I misinterpreted it. It's around the reduced suggested reduction of storage capacity and dwell time at the facility, and under what circumstances can that occur? Two principal circumstances under the Waste and Contaminated Land Order were waste management licences and the issuing of them flows. One, an application can come from an operator to modify a condition of the licence, or two, the NIEA do have the powers to vary a licence condition. However, that is in relation, that has to be backed up by significant non-compliance. I don't know if the actual detail is fully in front of me, but there is the two ways to go are an application from the operator or the NIA taking forward a variation of the condition. Sure, I hope that answers that question.
Sorry.
Thank you, Chair. I think in relation to Councillor Devlin's proposal for an open forum like this, we wouldn't have a problem attending such a forum if you require that on a couple of times a year or a few times a year. Would encourage all members to attend the existing forum, that's every 3 months, and more if you to turn up to that. Perhaps on the back of that, you can create some sort of inner forum with your own council members who are on the board, because you know they're more informed and going to be regularly informed. We're happy to communicate with you on a regular basis, so it's all open to us, open to you as to how you see that going. Certainly.
Thank you. Hey, Jen.
Yes, so first thing, the mitigation measures, they're in place. They're always being reviewed. Activities are always reviewed on an ongoing basis to make sure the site is compliant. In terms of the communication side of things, Regen did leaflet households around Warren Point after the issue, outlining what had happened and the mitigation measures that they were proposing. And we're open to work with NIEA. Maybe just on Brian's sort of side of things, if NIEA were to modify a licence condition, that would probably normally follow NIEA's actual enforcement proceedings, where they would step through their normal enforcement routes, which would be their compliance assessment reports, where they would advise an operator they're not doing things right to bring it back in line. If that was ignored, then they would up their enforcement levels, whereas we work on an open basis with NIEA, and if things are identified, take action on those, that we don't step beyond that. So we're always trying to work within the compliance of our license.
Okay. Our mental health.
Thank you, Chair. Back to Councillor Tenley in relation to the
threshold for the statute of nuisance, and the percentage of 7%. Councillor Tinley's questions in relation to what percent it needs to be for it to reach a statute of nuisance, and that's not defined in the guidance or in law. So I did mention the 8 factors that are outlined in section 2.4 of the report. So it's a consideration of all of those factors. You know, smell was noted and noted as intermittent, and I would say that, you know, we fully appreciate the impact that this has had on the residents, and we do take all complaints that we receive very seriously. I would recognise that odour was detected at the properties, but all of those factors would need to be met for us to work to, you know, to establish statute of nuisance. In relation to the frequency of monitoring, you'll note in section 2.3 of the report refer to the different scale of monitoring, and it was just to highlight that that monitoring was taken took place on a daily basis during those periods, so we had staff available right over weekends, and on some days they were available both in the morning and the afternoon, and that monitoring was taking place throughout that period. So in terms of the depth of the investigation, I hope that demonstrates how seriously the Environment Health Department did take the complaints that were received. Just going back to Councillor Gibbons' comments, and I take on board comments in relation to it's not being received through all of the properties, and feed back those comments to the team. Just referred through in relation to receiving 50 complaints, and I would encourage elected members that if complaints are received, please do refer those through to the Environmental Health Department for us to investigate.
Thank you. Can I just ask if everyone is in agreement with the proposal put forward by Councillor Devlin? Thank you. Just to let you know that NI Water are due to come in to St. Patrick here the last Monday in April for the special council meeting. So any questions for NI Water? Just to say that listening here tonight, the most glaringly obvious factor in it all is communication. Communication is key. So with that, I'll say safe home and happy Easter.